In the meantime, turn to your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Testing 1 2 3 4 4 3 2 1. Don's got it.
No, he had it all.
I'm just telling secrets there.
Okay, let's just read through those first five or six verses here, starting in verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, "We are troubled on every side. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you." Okay. Last week we went through this passage, and the last 2 weeks maybe, and we talked about all of these things that occur in a believer's life. Trouble, persecution, cast down, being in a position of helplessness and hopelessness, perplexed, uncertainty where to turn, whether we should go to Saudi Arabia or whether we shouldn't go to Saudi or whatever. You know, there's, right, we've got these perplexities in our life. And we said that if we're abiding in the old man and that old sin nature, then what follows that is not only are we troubled, but we're also distressed. And we really get boxed in anguish by the circumstances. And there's this wrenching and anguish that we have. Forsaken. We feel abandoned. We just feel, we really feel helpless. We have a loss of well-being and despair. We think that there's not a way out. And as we said last week, the way the old man reacts to these circumstances, when we're troubled, persecuted, cast down, he responds in a way in terms of being irritable, angry, casting blame, bitterness, all the way down this chart. Now, why is that? Did we ask the question last week? Why? What's the old man? What does the old man want to do? When, you know, if you think of it from the old man point of view, does the old man, first of all, want these things in his life?
No.
Because, see, when troubles and persecution and things like this happen, being uncertain to which way to proceed, which way to go, that's the worst thing that can happen to the old man, because the old man wants to be in control, right? He wants to be in control. Control of the circumstances in life. And if the old man's in control of the circumstances, everything's A-okay. But once he's not in control, it's not okay. Okay, so then the old man responds when he's not in control and he can't get control by these various ways. Okay? Now, my question is this. Does God, and last week, by the way, we saw that we were appointed to these things, that God appoints us as ambassadors, as a sovereign in a country appoints an ambassador to another country. We are ambassadors for Christ, and He appoints us to these things to represent our sovereign, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our place where we come from, the heavenlies. We're His sovereign. We represent our sovereign. And He appoints us to these things. Now, my question is this. when the old man responds this way to that, is it God that is causing this to happen?
No, that would be the natural result of the old man being in control.
Okay. How do we know that when God appoints us to this, that His objective is not this? How do we know that?
None of that's the fruit of the Spirit.
Okay, good. All right.
When you're irritable, angry, casting blame, bitterness is that you're not acting in faith.
Okay, good. Excellent.
Not evil in the sense of sin.
Yeah. See, the answer I was thinking about is along those lines, in terms of when you go over to James, it says that God cannot be tempted, neither does He tempt any man. And the word tempt there, pirazo, means to solicit to sin. God will never solicit man to sin, right? So He allows these things to happen, right? But He will never solicit man to sin. What is this? Sin. God will never solicit man to sin. So this is not the response that God is looking for. Right? Now, why does God test us? Why does He put us through the test? Why does He put us through the sufferings, through the trials, through the afflictions? Why does He do this? Very quickly, turn in your Bibles over to Romans chapter 5. So what I want to do tonight is to put all of this in context, because we talked about Him allowing and appointing us to all of these things, but He has a purpose, and it's not this. Okay, Romans chapter 5. This has got to be one of my favorite passages in terms of when I'm over here, when all these things are happening, to go to Romans chapter 5 to understand the mind and the will of God in these situations. Okay? So Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, or having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let me just stop there for a moment. Talking about believers, that we, having been justified, it's a fact. We've been justified means we've been declared righteous by God. He's imputed His righteousness into us when we believe, and because He imputed that righteousness to us, then He can declare us righteous, because we have the righteousness. So He can declare us righteous. Okay. So we're having peace with Him. So it's talking about, and the word peace there, the preposition is pros, and it means a face-to-face peace that we have with God, where we were in enmity at one time with Him as unbelievers. We now have face-to-face peace with God. So by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And the word there for access is two words in the Greek, prosago, means to lead. And the idea is like taking one by the hand and leading somebody by the hand. And the picture here is the Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe, just taking us by the hand and needy against into God's grace, and says, in which we stand. And the word stand there is a military term. It means in which we are entrenched. So when I think of Saudi Arabia and I think of the war that went on there, and if you remember the pictures of our soldiers who were entrenched and they dug these big dugouts in the desert, and they were entrenched. And that's the way we are with God's grace. We're entrenched in His grace, never, never, ever to be taken out. And it's a place where we continually are entrenched, never to be taken out. Okay, our wonderful position in Christ. Then it goes on. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, the word hope means a fixed or an absolute certainty. We use hope as, I hope it doesn't snow tomorrow, right? And it's kind of like we use it in terms of wish. I wish it doesn't snow tomorrow. But hope in Scripture is never conditional. It's an absolute certainty. So it says that we stand in His grace. We're entrenched in His grace, and we are rejoicing. Present tense. We are rejoicing in the absolute certainty. Now, question: whose absolute certainty is this? Is it our hope? Okay. Look at the modifiers there. In hope of the glory of God. And when you see of, it tells us the source. It tells us the source of the hope coming out from the glory of God. Out from who and what He is. Out from His essence. So the absolute certainty, the hope here, isn't our hope. It's the hope that comes out from the glory of God, who and what God is. That's what we can rejoice about. We couldn't rejoice in our hope, right? So the fixed confidence, the absolute certainty, comes out from Him. The source is the glory of God. Okay. The glory of God is all who God is in his totality, in all His attributes and in His essence. Then it says, now here's the part that we don't like. So we get to verse 3, and it says, not only so, in other words, not only are we rejoicing in the hope, in this absolute certainty that comes out from the glory of God, but we glory, same word, we glory in what? In tribulations. We do? And you know something? In this passage of Scripture, there isn't a beat missed. We're glorying in the hope that comes out from... We're rejoicing in the hope that comes out from the glory of God, and we find ourselves in tribulations. There isn't one beat missed, and we're still rejoicing. Present tense. We continue to rejoice in our tribulation. But do we? See? So now we're taking a look at, from God's frame of reference, you know, what's His purpose? What's His purpose in all of this? Okay, so let's go on. And not only so, we glory in tribulations, also knowing. And I'm just trying to think, and I didn't write any notes on this. Which knowing is this? Knowing by fact or knowing by experience? Let's just skip that for a minute. Not only shall we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation works what? Patience. So, the word work there means that it has a purpose, there's a goal. There's a goal or a purpose to the tribulation, and it's patience. And the word patience in Scripture, two words in the Greek, hupomene. Mene means to abide, and Christ wants us to abide in Him, right? I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit, right? For without me you can do nothing. So it's that word, abiding, remaining, being at home with Christ. You know, when you're at home, you know, I'd take my shoes off, but I won't. You know, you kick your shoes off and you're relaxed and you're at home, when you're at home. So being at, abiding in Christ, being at home with Him, and that word for abide. And the little preposition before it, hupomene, means to abide under. To be at home under. Under what? From the text. What's happening? God is coming at us with what? Tribulation. So that we're at home under the tribulation. Okay? All right. Where are we? verse 4? Okay. Verse 4. And patience, yeah. Okay. And the patience then, and patience then experience. And it's understood in the text that patience works towards, has a goal. They just don't repeat the word works towards experience. Now, does anybody have another translation for experience?
Proven character.
Okay, good translation. The word there for experience is dokimazo in the Greek. Dokimazo. You have to understand dokimazo. It's a term where when you took ore out of the ground and you wanted to test it for its purity, you dokimazoed it. How do you separate, all you engineers, how do you separate the pure stuff from the slag or whatever by fire? You try it, right? And it's you the way you test it is, or the way you separate it is through fire, through this testing. And that's the word experience. So when it says proven character, it's a character that has been tried, true, and found to be true, and it's been tested. And so as you go through this, as we go through this process, our faith is always, in this whole process, is on the focus, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we go through rejoicing in His hope, through patience, or through the trial, through the tribulation, and then that trial works patience. Patience then works this tried character. At this point in time, what God is doing is showing and manifesting the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Because we're walking by faith in this trial. And then what happens? The proven character or the experience works towards what? Hope. We're back to hope. Okay. So does God have us going around in a circle? And just once. But this whole process occurs all of our Christian life. over and over and over again. So, you know, are we walking around in circles as believers? So let me show you this in terms of... Oh, very good. Very good. So I drew a picture. No, I... What does it look like, Paul? I'm going to start here with hope. And what are we doing? We're rejoicing in the hope. The source of the hope comes out from who and what Christ is, out of the glory of God. Okay? That's the source of that hope, that absolute confidence that comes out from the hope, out from the glory of God. We're rejoicing in that, not our hope. And we're coming along, and bingo, here comes a trial. Here comes all of these things that were on the other chart. Our trouble, our persecution, our being cast down, all of those things. All of these things that God appoints us to. But what the Lord is looking for us to do is to keep looking at Him, to walk by faith, abiding in Him. Okay? Because He has a purpose in all of this. And the purpose of the trial then works towards something else. Patience, this staying power under the trial. Our prayer all the time is, oh Lord, I can't handle these trials. I mean, please take this away. And we're always praying for the Lord to remove the trial. That's not what He gave us the trial for Him to remove it. He gives us the trial so that we abide under it. Now, question, whose patience is this? Yeah. It is not our patience. This is His patience. And we access, and by faith and abiding in Him, we just access who and what He is. And He is all patience. He's got all the staying power in the world, all of the abiding under a trial in the world. And so we're accessing that patience from Him. And as we do, by faith, then that works towards experience. And is this something out from us? This tried character or approved by God? No. It's the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. And now, what we were talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10, 11, and 12, that these things are happening that Christ might be manifest in us. And here's the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is being manifested in our life. And the world is looking at us going through all of these troubles, and the world knows how they react to each and every one of these. They're in Panic Palace. Okay? And when they don't see us in Panic Palace, they got a big question. How come? And what they're seeing is they're seeing the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And then that works, that has a goal. This word work means it has a goal and has a purpose, and it goes back to hope. So we come back, and what we do is we've gone through this process. We see a little bit more of the glory of our great and wonderful God. We have a little bigger picture of what that is. So the Lord doesn't have us going around in circles in our Christian life. This way. He doesn't have us going around in circles in our Christian life. What that looks like, if you put it on another scale, or look at it from another dimension, all you engineers around here, this is what it looks like. we start out here with hope, you know, and then we're rejoicing in the hope, and then comes the trial, and we're rejoicing in that trial, and our focus is on the center of this whatever cone, how's that, which is the glory and essence of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're focused there. And as we go through, that trial works patience, this proven character, okay, and then back to hope, then another trial, and then patience, and then as in our Christian life, as these trials occur, I should have drawn this like bam, you know what I mean? So that like in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, as we behold him, you know, as in the mirror, as we behold the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God, that we are changed or transformed into that same image from what? From glory to glory. From one state of glory to ever-increasing states of glory. So this is the ever-increasing states of glory. We get to see more of who and what Christ is. See that? So can we really thank and praise the Lord for trials in our life? Because this is His purpose. His purpose is for Him to want us to come to know Him, to behold His glory and rest there and just trust there and not in ourselves. Because when we're in ourselves, we've got the other spiral going down. Yeah, that's right. We got two spirals. This one, you have your choice. Which spiral do you want to be on? You know, this one or the other one, going down to despair and depression. Roger.
I was wondering, this is time going up, right? Yeah, here's time. I was thinking that maybe the normal experience, my view is that we might be at a level for a while, and then over time we might. And maybe sometimes we're at a level we haven't really trusted the Lord or exercised faith in a particular trial. And then at times, you know, months, years go by, we may then, so it's not necessarily that's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Okay.
Believers at
sure.
Places at different times.
Sure. Good point. As Roger says, this is time going up. This is spiritual growth going up. This is transformation going up, being transformed into the very image of our Lord Jesus Christ from glory to glory. Okay? And oftentimes, as Roger says, that's it. We're in a trial, and we're abiding in the old man, and guess what? There is no transformation. Zero. We stay right there. And we don't go any further. But wonderful thing about God and His grace, He allows that to happen to a believer to the point where, because what happens, we turn to self. And self tries to correct the problem, to get rid of the trial or the suffering, however which way self tries to do it. And as long as self is operating, you know, we're here. And God, in His love and His patience, just keeps us right there. And we don't progress at all in terms of our spiritual growth. And He allows that process to go on. God brings His trials. And then He comforts us through that whole process. Walking by faith, we're comforted by His comfort. And He has a purpose in that. So we may comfort others, bring that compassion to others who are going or have the same, going through the same trouble. And so they're comforted not by our comfort, but by the very comfort that we were comforted of God. And what, here's the ministry. Here's a ministry and with hurting people, as people hurt. And so one of the most wonderful things that can happen to us as believers is to go through the trials and to go through the suffering so that we can comfort others. Wonderful ministry. That's what he wants us to do. Okay. I want to leave some few minutes here for questions. We went through a lot in these weeks, so I don't know. Questions from... oh, yeah. They're here. Yeah. So, handouts are here.
Now, I was thinking about the trials that we go through. I think, you point out many times that we think that we're unique. The particular trial that we have is unique, and we're the only one. And many times prevents us from seeing possible God is doing it. This trial is somehow I caused it, or my situation is so unique that nobody else in the world could be suffering that kind of suffering. And even believers do that. That's a pitfall that we fall into, saying that we're so unique. But the verse that we quoted about common to man is something we need to remember.
Yeah. But even so, and that's true, and that's very true, but even so, even in our mind, if we think that we're the only person in the world, right? Let's say we think we're the only person in the world that is going through this trial. I mean, there can't be anybody that is going through this trial but me, right? And for whatever reason, Lord, you singled me out in the whole world to go through this trial, and there's nobody else. Let's just say that we think that for a moment, okay? But all of this truth that we went to, even though it is singular, which it really isn't, but in our mind it's singular, all of these truths hold that we walk by faith in that only trial that we think, that only us, only we are going through. Right? But everything else holds. And it may give a little comfort to know that there are other people out there going through this thing. It may not.
We came, Elijah, we call it the Elijah complex, but see, Elijah wasn't indwelt by the Spirit.
Yeah.
We're more privileged than Elijah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And yet, I was listening to a message by God today with Jeremiah the other day. I'm encouraged because he wants to be encouraged. And he was saying that sometimes we fall into the trap, but we fall into saying to people that are going through trials, I understand, or I know what you're going through. And he said, it's not really true, because he said, even though, these trials are common to man, they're not perfectly common in every aspect. That each person does, have specific certain characteristics of that trial.
And they respond differently.
Not necessarily every other person is common to every other
Sure.
person.
There may be a common trial, but they respond, each person responds differently, right? So you may have gone through a similar trial, but to say that, yes, sister, I know what you're going through, that's not comfort. That's not comfort. The comfort can only come through the compassion from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only comfort. So. Okay. Everything was perfectly clear. I'm delighted. No. Okay.
Now,
Roger? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. After I had done this study before, in terms of identification truths, a fellow came up to me and says, he had this old book. He says, hey, you know, I've been reading this book, and a lot of the things that you've been going through are in this book. I said, really? So I read through the book, and it's the title of the book is The New Life by Captain Reginald Wallace. It was written back in 1932. And I think Reginald Wallace was a Plymouth Brethren. He used to go to the conferences. And anyhow, this book is out of print. And so I called up the publishers back in New Jersey and asked them if I could have permission to reprint the book. And in my fax to them, I said, I hate to ask you to speed this up, but I want to get this printed so I could have it for this Bible study. Okay? And so they came back within 2 hours and said, not only can you print 100, you can print several hundred. So anyhow, so they allowed us to do it, and all I had to do is put a little note, like on page 2, reproduced by permission of Luazzo Brothers, so it makes it official. So anyhow, yeah, these are yours, and I mean, I haven't seen anything better on our identification with Christ. So this will, you know, refresh our memories. In fact, I'm still going through it. Okay. We got to close in prayer. Roger, would you close in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your time, Father. We thank you for Brother Hal and just for the many months, Lord, since October is more October, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to listen to your word, Father, and to tell us that things are new that maybe we haven't quite thought about, or maybe we've heard about, but not understood, Father. Pray that we might, with this book that's been passed out, and might help us to recall some of those things and think about them and ponder them, Lord. And we just would pray that your Spirit would guide us as we study your word and desire to understand more about the person of Christ and our relationship with him, and how all the marvelous things that we have in him, Father,
mm-hmm.
we might appropriate those moment by moment and day by day.
Mm-hmm.
And just ask his name to
save you. Mm-hmm. Amen.